Hey, deep divers. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Today, we're looking at a paper from the world of finance and optimization.
Okay.
It's called Constructing Diversification Constraints.
Interesting.
And it might sound a little dry, but trust me, it's way more exciting than it sounds.
All right. I'm listening.
Basically, it's all about finding clever ways to keep those top few values in a set from getting too big for their britches.
Okay. So, like, if you're managing a portfolio, you wouldn't want just one or two investments to dominate everything, right?
Exactly. You want to spread that risk around. And this paper gives you the mathematical tools to make sure that happens.
That makes sense. So how does it work?
Well, the author, R. Scott McIntyre, starts by introducing this function. It basically adds up the k largest values in a set. Think of it like your different investments.
Mm. Okay.
Now, you might think, okay, let's just list out every possible combination of K investments and put a cap on each sum.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable at first.
But there's a catch.
Yep. What is it?
The paper points out that this approach quickly hits a wall. As the number of investments grows, the number of possible combinations explodes. It's like trying to count all the stars in the sky.
Yikes. That sounds pretty unmanageable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The author even includes a formula to show just how dramatically these combinations multiply.
Oh, wow. So how do we get around this?
That's where the paper takes a brilliant turn.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
It dives into the world of optimization.
Optimization.
Yeah. It's all about finding the best solution within certain limits. The author reframes the problem, asking, how can we maximize the sum of those K values while still keeping them in check?
So instead of listing every single combination, we're finding a smarter way to set those limits.
Precisely. And this new approach is way more manageable from a computational standpoint.
That makes sense. So what happens next?
Well, this is where things get even more interesting. The paper shows how this problem, which initially deals with separate, distinct values, can be transformed into a continuous problem.
A continuous problem. So, like, instead of counting apples, we're pouring water into a glass.
A perfect analogy. This opens up a whole new set of tools and techniques for finding a solution.
So we've reframed the problem and moved into this continuous world. What's the next step?
Now we enter the realm of the dual problem.
The dual problem? Uh-oh, that sounds intimidating.
Don't worry, it's not as scary as it sounds. Every optimization problem has this hidden twin, this dual problem, that's like looking at the same challenge from a different angle.
Hmm, okay. And why is that useful?
Because by switching to the dual problem, we can express those limits on the top K values in a much simpler form, a linear form. Mm. And in optimization, linear forms are a godsend.
Oh, I see. They're easier to work with.
Exactly. Leading to more efficient solutions. This is where the paper's real brilliance shines.
So after this journey through reframing and continuous spaces and dual problems, we've finally reached the solution.
We have. The paper unveils a set of three elegant constraints that effectively limit the sum of those top K values.
And they do it without getting bogged down in all those combinations we talked about earlier.
Exactly. It's like finding a shortcut through a dense jungle.
That's a great way to put it.
By adding just a couple of extra variables, the paper delivers a practical and efficient way to keep the biggest values in check. It's a real triumph of optimization.
It sounds like it. So what does this all mean for our listeners? Why should they care about these constraints?
That's a great question. Let's go back to those portfolio examples we mentioned. These constraints have huge implications in finance. They help portfolio managers diversify their investments, reduce risk, and potentially even increase returns.
Okay, so this isn't just some abstract mathematical idea. It has real-world impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling this goes way beyond just managing money.
You're right. It does. We'll dive deeper into that in the next part of our deep dive. Get ready to explore the vast landscape of applications for these constraints and discover their power in shaping the world around us.
I can't wait. All right, so we're back, and we've uncovered these really elegant constraints that cleverly limit the influence of the top K values.
Right.
But how do these mathematical marvels translate into real-world impact? I mean, why should we care?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Finding the so what?
Exactly.
Well, remember those portfolio examples we were talking about?
Yeah.
Imagine boosting a portfolio's return by, say, 10% while simultaneously keeping risk under control.
10%. You got my attention. Now, that's a game changer in finance. But it sounds like this could go way beyond just managing money.
Absolutely. Think about something like designing a city's power grid.
Okay.
You wouldn't want a single power line to become overloaded, right?
No, definitely not.
These constraints could help distribute the electrical load more evenly, preventing blackouts, ensuring a stable supply of electricity.
Wow, that's a powerful example. Makes me think about all sorts of resource allocation challenges. Distributing funds for social programs, allocating computing power. assigning tasks within a team.
Exactly. It's about preventing overconcentration, promoting a more balanced approach.
So it's about more than just finance. It's about resource allocation in all sorts of fields.
Precisely. And what's remarkable is the adaptability. You can tailor it to fit different scenarios and objectives. Need to focus on a tighter set of top values. Adjust K, have specific limitations, tweak the constraints. It's like a Swiss Army knife for optimization.
Sounds incredibly versatile. But let's get real for a second. Are there any limitations? Drawbacks? There's no such thing as a free lunch, right?
You're right to be cautious. While these constraints offer a really elegant and efficient solution, there are a few things to keep in mind.
Like what?
Well, first off, they work best when the data you're dealing with is accurate and representative.
Makes sense. If you're working with bad data, you're going to get bad results. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. And then there's the computational complexity.
Oh, right. We talked about that earlier.
While these constraints significantly reduce the number of constraints compared to that initial brute force method, they still add some complexity. So for massive data sets or incredibly intricate systems, finding that perfect solution might require a lot of computing power.
So it's not a magic bullet that solves everything instantly. Got it. Anything else?
Here's something to think about. By limiting the influence of those top K values, we might in some cases actually hold back the system's overall potential.
Interesting. How so?
Let's go back to that portfolio example. If those top K investments happen to be the absolute best performers imposing strict constraints, could limit the overall return. It's a balancing act.
The classic risk versus reward dilemma. So it's about finding that sweet spot, using these constraints strategically to achieve the desired outcome without sacrificing too much potential.
Precisely. It's a delicate balance.
This paper really pushes us to think differently about how we approach optimization and resource allocation.
It does. It goes beyond just offering a solution. It encourages us to think critically about how we define and achieve balance within complex systems.
It reminds us that there are trade-offs involved in controlling concentration, and that we need to carefully consider the specific goals and context of the problem we're trying to solve.
Well said. Sometimes the most elegant solution isn't the one that maximizes a single metric, but the one that creates the right balance across multiple dimensions.
Right. It's not always about finding the single best answer, but rather about understanding the nuances, the trade-offs, the potential consequences of our choices.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious.
How about?
What other creative ways could we apply these diversification constraints? What other fields or problems could benefit from this kind of approach?
Those are fantastic questions. And that brings us to the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore some potential extensions of this research, future directions, and the wider implications of these findings. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive. It's been quite a journey exploring these diversification constraints.
It has. We've gone from their mathematical elegance to their real-world potential.
Right. Now let's shift gears a bit and look ahead. What's next for this exciting area of research?
Well, you know, it's like we've opened this door to a whole new way of thinking about optimization. We're not just chasing the biggest or the smallest anymore.
It's like we've become sculptors of complex systems, shaping the very distribution of resources, influence, whatever we aim to optimize.
Exactly. And the possibilities seem endless.
But how do we ensure these constraints can handle the real world?
Mm.
You know, with all its messiness and uncertainties.
That's a great question.
What are some research avenues that you think would be really interesting to explore?
One that immediately comes to mind is robustness.
Robustness.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the importance of data quality.
Right.
But imagine a research project that specifically tests how these constraints perform when the data is uncertain. When there's noise.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
Because so many systems out there are constantly changing, evolving.
Exactly. And that leads to another intriguing area, dynamic optimization.
Dynamic optimizations.
Yeah.
So how do these constraints adapt to a world that's in constant flux?
Exactly. Can they respond to those shifts and fluctuations?
It's like we need to create systems that are inherently more resilient and adaptable.
Precisely. Think about a portfolio that can intelligently adjust its diversification strategy as market conditions change.
Or a communication network that dynamically reroutes traffic to avoid congestion as demand patterns shift.
Now you're getting it. That's the future.
It is a pretty exciting future. But let's not forget about the human element.
Oh, that's important.
How do we bridge the gap between these elegant mathematical concepts and the way people actually make decisions?
Right. We need tools that are both powerful and intuitive.
Exactly, because not everyone is a mathematician.
Exactly. This is where fields like human-computer interaction and user interface design become crucial.
So we need to create ways for people to interact with these constraints in a way that feels natural, easy to understand.
Imagine a dashboard where you can visualize these constraints in action, adjust them with sliders, and see the impact in real time.
That's a great idea. Make it accessible to everyone.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, these diversification constraints aren't just about numbers and algorithms.
It's about reshaping the way we design and manage the systems around us.
Financial markets, communication networks, even societal structures.
It's about creating a world that embraces balance, resilience, fairness. A world less susceptible to extremes, more adaptable to change.
A world where individuals and organizations are empowered to make more informed and equitable decisions.
It's a powerful vision.
And we've only just begun to explore its potential.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I hope you, our listeners, are leaving with a sense of wonder and possibility.
We've only scratched the surface of what's possible with these diversification constraints.
So as you go about your day, keep this concept in mind.
Challenge assumptions. Seek balance. Look for opportunities to apply these ideas.
Keep exploring. Keep questioning.
Yeah.
And keep diving deep. Until next time.